Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Glad to have you hanging out with us today. Fantasy semifinals, they're kicking off tonight. We got the Saints and the Rams going at it. And I know you have a lot of questions, too, because we got a ton of them sent in this week. So let's get to it. At Aaron Avazian, how do you handle your bench for the playoffs? Do you only stash high upside running backs, or do you balance with some high upside wide receivers or tight ends? Thanks. Well, thank you for the question, Aaron. I talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show and how I'm approaching my benches for the fantasy playoffs. Hopefully you check that out. I think you can get a little insight from that. I don't really have a general rule that fits like all teams and all situations. It really depends on your starting lineup and where your weaknesses are, to be more specific, because if you're strong across the board, then I would lean towards those high upside running backs because they have the most value to gain, right? If an injury happens to the starter on their team, all of a sudden we've seen these guys come out of nowhere and potentially even win fantasy leagues for you. And we know volume alone can make fantasy stars out of those backup running backs in the right scenario. So for me, I normally build my teams in a way where that RB2 spot is the weak link on my team, and I'm trying to spend all year solving that problem by, you know, getting late round picks that I think could explode during the season, or, you know, picking up guys off the waiver wire and being really aggressive there and trying to find the answer. But I do have one team that comes to mind where I've had a bunch of receiver injuries. Some of the shots that I took in the draft, they didn't pan out. So my wide receiver 3 spot on that team, that's the weakness. And in that instance, I still have a couple upside running backs, of course, but I'm also using a couple bench spots on upside wide receivers in hopes that I can just hit on the right one at the right time and that a guy's going to get hot here and become a strong starter for me over the last couple weeks. So the default, I would say, is stashing upside running backs. But if you have a weakness at wide receiver, I'd be stashing some receivers as well. And I normally don't stash quarterbacks or tight ends unless it's 2 quarterback or super flex or tight end premium, because in regular leagues, where you're just starting one guy at those positions, I'm just streaming if I need to. At From Fossil to Fuel, I made it to the semis in both my dynasty leagues, thank you, bye, but I'm one of the few left that has Austin Eckler on both teams. What the heck are we thinking for Eckler in week 16? How dire is it? Rankings would suggest benching him over a handful of guys. How did it get so bad? Well, I mean, it started with the high ankle sprain in week 1. Eckler missed some time after that. And often when running backs return from those high ankle sprains, they might not be the same player. They might not be as effective because that's one that can linger. And for Eckler, I mean, this Chargers team, they've just had bad vibes all season. And I don't know if there was a rift between Brandon Staley and the players or really what it was, but they just never seemed like they were on the same page this year. And that offense has also had a bunch of injuries. Mike Williams going down early in the season, that obviously hurt them. His replacement, Josh Palmer, he was on IR for a bit and they just got him back recently. And then their first round receiver, Quentin Johnston, he's a work in progress. He wasn't able to fill that void when Mike Williams went down. And now Palmer's back, but Keenan Allen's dealing with an injury and he's going to be out again this week. And Justin Herbert being gone for the season, I mean, that was just the death blow for this offense and for Eckler's fantasy value. Because Easton Stick, I mean, he's not an NFL caliber quarterback. He's more of a third stringer in terms of his talent level. And this team, they're just limping to the end of the season at this point. And with the playoffs out of sight, there's no reason to give Eckler big workloads. So he can't even overcome some of these other issues with the offense by getting a ton of touches. Some running backs can. Doesn't appear like that's going to be the case for him here. And that's turned him into an RB3 in my rankings this week. And yes, if you have a couple of the guys above him in my rankings, I would be starting them over Eckler. I think he's one of the few stars where you can bench him if you have some better options. And then for Dynasty, I mean, he's going to be 29 next season. Matt Harmon asked him this week, he asked him if he wants to play football next season on their podcast, and Eckler gave like a very detailed response. He outlined what some of the paths for him could be. You know, if there isn't a market out there that he likes, maybe he won't play next season. And he suggested that his future could be in the NFL or his future could be in the media. So if you can get anything of value for him right now, I'm not saying, you know, sell him for pennies on the dollar, but if you can get something of value for him, I would trade him for sure. My guess is that there's not going to be much of a market in your league to try to get him. So you're either going to have to package him with someone else, or just sit on him and hope that he finds the right landing spot and that he can rebound in 2024, which I think to some extent he will if he does find a good landing spot, because he's better than what we're seeing right now, but he's definitely on the decline. And that drop off, it can come fast. I mean, just ask Dalvin Cook, right? He's probably the latest example of a guy that we've seen just sort of fall off the map in terms of his fantasy value. Two similar questions for the next one here. So at No Alarm, how do you handle star players with true game time decisions where the better replacement option for that star is in the earlier game? Would you always wait it out for the star to see if he can play, or take the better replacement option? Maybe it's case by case. And then at L Vanderstreak, with the week 16 schedule so spread out, how does that impact start sit decisions for injured players? Do you start an active player on Saturday or Sunday who may be ranked lower rather than a higher ranked player coming off injury who could be inactive on Monday, like Josh Jacobs? So any situation like this, yes, it has to be case by case, because we tend to have varying levels of confidence when it comes to different injured players. So if we look at Jacobs, for example, his head coach, Antonio Pierce, he said that if he was a betting man, he would expect that Jacobs was going to play this week. But we also saw Jacobs sit out practice today, and that's the first practice of the week because they play on Monday. So Friday's practice will give us a better idea of his availability this week. But that leaves things up in the air if you're debating him against somebody in the Thursday nighter, for example. And you know, based on the positive words from his coach and the fact that it's a Monday game, so we still have a little bit of time here, I would be willing to wait on Jacobs this week, unless you have a player that's very, very close to him in the rankings. And that's really what it comes down to. You have to weigh the value of that replacement versus the upside of starting that injured guy, or whether that injured guy is going to be available. And if it's close in the rankings, and if you haven't heard anything positive about that player returning, then you might as well play it safe. You go with the healthy option. But if it's somebody who's 10, 20, 30 spots lower in the rankings, and I get questions like that all the time, you're probably going to wait it out for that guy. You know, it's definitely case by case though, and I try to cover all the possibilities when I do that Friday injury updates and expectations show. I'm telling you what my outlook is going into the weekend for that player, for their teammates, everything, and I normally explain the opposite side of things as well, just in case. At John, and then a ton of numbers, just the most numbers you've ever seen. Trust level in Tajay Spears this week. Do you think he gets more work? I think he should get more work. They aren't playing for anything at this point. And aside from the record books, I don't know why Henry would want to add miles to his body in a lost season, but I'm of the belief that they also see Spears as their starting back in 2024, and maybe they don't want to put too many miles on him either, and maybe they don't want to risk a late season injury to him that could impact his availability next year. So that could mean that we're probably going to see a split the rest of the way, with Spears getting a small boost from what we've seen, but Henry still remaining heavily involved. It'll probably be around 50-50, I would guess, and that makes Henry a risky RB2. Spears just a flex still, but in Dynasty, I'd be moving heaven and earth to try to get Spears, because he looks poised for greatness. Really, really excited for what we could see from him the rest of his career. At Hegemony, what's up with Dalton Kincaid at tight end 15 in your rankings? What's up with it? I mean, I think I moved him up to tight end 13 in today's update, but even that might be generous on my part, right? He's coming off a game where he saw two targets, didn't catch either of them. The week before that, that was Dawson Knox's first game back. Kincaid resumed that like short game that he was doing early in the season, just five catches for 21 yards. And this Bills offense, it's poised to destroy the Chargers this week. They just blew out the Cowboys. I can't even imagine what they're going to do to Easton Stick. And the Bills OC, Joe Brady, he said it after last week's game. The run was working, so why fix it? Why change? They just rolled over Dallas using the ground game. We could see something similar here, and that means they don't need to pepper Kincaid with targets. And also, a couple other tight ends have stepped up around the league, and that's pushed Kincaid down as well. So he's more of a high-end tight end too this week. I don't really feel great about his fantasy outlook in what I think is going to be another lopsided game for the Bills. At Squid Thunder, any chance Michael Pittman Jr. plays this week? So I think you probably sent this question in on Wednesday, because I'm answering it on Thursday. We have more information to go off now. Pittman still in concussion protocol, but he practiced in a limited fashion on Wednesday. That was a great sign to start the week for him. And then he got back to a full practice today, and his head coach, Shane Steichen, he was on Pat McAfee's show. He talked about it this week, how tough Pittman is. it really seems like he's trending towards being cleared and playing in this one. And you never would have thought that was the case after he almost got like decapitated on the field last weekend. But I'm putting Pittman back in my lineups. I put him back in the rankings as a fringe low-end wide receiver one. I'm expecting him to play now. Yeah. At Eraser W, should there be a punishment for the last place team? If so, should it be the last place of the regular season or the consolation bracket? So this is where you have to fall back on fantasy being fun. And I know I am bad for being really, really competitive with it. And I'm always focused on trying to win. But in the end, we're doing this to try to enjoy ourselves. And if your league wants to punish last place, yeah, go for it. That could be really fun. I do that in some of my leagues, right? It's mostly the ones where it's buddies that, you know, I've been friends with for a while and you're kind of able to have a laugh with each other over a guy doing something silly. And we don't have anything like super creative in terms of punishments. I mean, it normally ends up being one guy just like paying for food and drinks at the draft party the next year or something like that. I'm sure you've seen some of the crazy things people do online, right? Some of it's gone viral. That guy in the Waffle House where he had to stay there for 24 hours and then each waffle or pancake that he ate took an hour off his time. That got pretty funny. Stuff like that. I mean, it's outrageous, but it can be a good time, right? And it can be a thing that you remember forever and you can joke about even, you know, way down the road when you're older, you can think back to that and have a laugh. You just have to make sure that the punishment has to be agreed to before the season. I don't think that you can retroactively come up with the punishment after the season's over. So if everybody knows what's on the line, you know, if they're coming into the season and they know that if they're in last place at the end of the year, they're going to have to wear a costume out to the bar, or they're going to have to sing a stupid song at karaoke or dye their hair or whatever you want it to be. You know, as long as everybody knows that that's going to be the punishment if they lose, then it's totally fair game. And then as for whether it should be the regular season or the consolation bracket that decides it, I think it's whatever you want. Just again, make sure that's decided before the season starts. And for me, I would go with the last place in the regular season. I think that's probably the better approach. Consolation brackets to me, it's just weird. I don't even know why we have them. But that is all for today's show. So if you want more, the Thursday rankings update, that's live over at The Score. I will update those again before the Thursday nighter kicks off. I'll also have Start, Sit, Stash, Quit Up on Friday. And that very important Friday injury updates episode that I touched on a couple times during this show. But until then, big thanks again for all the questions today. Big thanks to everybody for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight, said leave on time.